iHeart Podcasts.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. Although today we're in different places because it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Mango.
Hey there, Will. So I'm in a house full of family and kids, so hopefully my Henry and Ruby won't start banging the piano during this, but happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Well, we'll roll with it either way. And good news, Mango, guess who finished that Thanksgiving sweater he's been knitting for, like, what, 3 weeks now, I think?
No way, Tristan actually finished it?
That's right. Yeah, that's the man on the other side of the soundproof glass, our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. And Mango, it really is actually a beautiful sweater. It's a turkey reading on top of this cornucopia, and under it, it says gobbledybook. I don't fully get it, but I'll send you a picture.
That sounds glorious.
And joining us for the second time on Nine Things, and actually her third time on the show, is the brilliant co-host of Food Stuff, Lauren Vogelbaum. Lauren, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. Welcome to your own show, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, so it's no surprise that our facts today would be focused on Thanksgiving, so let's get straight to them so everybody can start feasting. Lauren, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, my first fact is about what the pilgrims probably ate, because, you know, like, that's a good first question to kick us off. Like, what was the original Thanksgiving about? Short answer is that no one really knows. Long answer is that it might not have been turkey, but instead eel.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like maybe turkey too, but it probably wasn't the focus of the feast. There was probably eels and lobster, clams and mussels, maybe some venison, stuff like that. No potatoes, though. Potatoes hadn't even made it to North America, neither white potatoes nor sweet potatoes.
We have a little bit of time to try to pull together some eel for this. So thank you very much for that first fact. That's a good one. All right, Mango, what's your first fact?
My first fact's about plumbers. So if you think Black Friday is bad because of all the clogging at the malls, you should be glad you're not a plumber. According to Roto-Rooter, the day after Thanksgiving is referred to as Brown Friday.
Ooh.
Because it's the busiest day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Plumbers are actually twice as busy on Brown Friday, and emergency calls go out all weekend. And while some of the work is definitely bathroom related, you know, having more guests does tend to overwork the toilets, the majority of the work is actually about cleaning out clogged up sinks.
Okay. Wow. Brown Friday. I had never heard that before. All right. Well, my first fact, speaking of leftovers, actually, the first frozen dinner was created because of Thanksgiving leftovers. This was back in 1953. Someone at Swanson Foods ordered a little too much turkey. Now, we're talking 260 tons of excess bird, to be exact, on this. So they had to find a way to use that meat. So enter a salesman named Jerry Thomas, and he ordered 5,000 aluminum trays. Then he pulled together this assembly line of people to scoop cornbread dressing and peas and sweet potatoes into the trays, you know, along with all that turkey, and the frozen dinner was born.
I like that.
All right. So your second fact, Lauren, what you got?
Oh, okay. About the wishbone, you know, the tradition of splitting the wishbone over the dinner table?
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually stems from an ancient Etruscan ritual. The Etruscans,
really?
Yeah, they believed that chickens were oracles that could predict the future, obviously.
Huh.
There's a word for this. It's called electriomancy, or rooster divination. Yeah, they would put a chicken in the middle of this circle that they had drawn on the ground, and that was divided up into wedges. And based on where the chicken pecked, they would translate that into these messages about what to do, you know, how to answer their big questions. And because chickens don't last forever, they would also, when the chicken, you know, when the oracle chicken passed, they would take the wishbone and dry it out and preserve it so that they could have access to that poultry power later. Supposedly, they passed this on to the Romans. And at that point, the chicken supply was kind of dwindling. So they had a tradition of breaking the wishbone in two to, you know, pass the magic along to more people. The Romans brought it to the British Isles, and the British brought it here.
Wow. It's funny that that's one of those things that got passed down for so long. I had no idea the origin was so far back. That's really good.
All thanks to Roostermancy.
That's right. That's right. All right, Mango, what's your next fact?
So this is one about Thomas Jefferson. So, you know, as admired as Jefferson was, did you know that he actually refused to acknowledge Thanksgiving?
Oh.
No, why is that?
Yeah, friendly. I mean, you know, now everyone knows that Lincoln's the one who actually made it a federal holiday. But before that, every president kind of had to declare the celebration every year. And Jefferson just refused. I mean, historians think it was because he was so committed to the idea of separation of church and state, because Thanksgiving this more religious and prayer-filled holiday back then. But he actually called Thanksgiving, quote, the most ridiculous idea ever conceived. It's nuts. Actually, before we go on, I did want to say Stacey told me that fact, but she actually brought me this extra fact nugget on presidents, and it's about William Howard Taft, and that he preferred to serve roasted possum with, quote, decorative potatoes in their mouths.
Not wow. A functional potato.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm glad I'm not eating eel and decorative potatoes inside a possum today. So, all right. Well, my next fact also has to do with a president. So from 1939 to 1941, we actually had Franksgiving, and I'll explain why. In 1939, FDR moved Thanksgiving up a week, and this is because it had previously been on the last Thursday of the month. And in 1939, that happened to fall on the very last day of the month. And that made retailers really anxious and angry because they knew that that would be cutting into the holiday shopping season. And so he decided to move it up by a week. Well, you'd think maybe no big deal, but actually many of FDR's political foes were furious about this. In fact, one of them even compared him to Hitler. There's a quote from the Kansas governor at the time, Alf Landon, who happened to be FDR's political opponent for the 1936 election. But he said, quote, more time should have been taken in working it out so as to assure wholehearted cooperation instead of springing it upon an unprepared country with the omnipotence of a Hitler. Pretty strong words there.
Wow. Ooh, about Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so until it was officially signed into legislation as the fourth Thursday of November, there were a couple of years where states in conservative control continued to celebrate Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of the month. And then the New Dealers celebrated it the week before. So the earlier holiday was actually known derisively as Franksgiving. All right, we've got one more fact each. Lauren, it's up to you.
Okay, this one is about Julia Child. If any of y'all part-time genius listeners out there listen to food stuff as well, you'll know that she's kind of one of my personal heroes. And this is so charming. So even during the height of her fame in the 1970s and 80s, Julia Child kept her home telephone listed in the phone book in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And she would answer calls from people who were wondering what to do, like having trouble with a recipe, up to and including on Thanksgiving. Like she would be cooking dinner and someone would call in panicked about their turkey. She would hand her whisk off to somebody else and just kind of talk them down, like whether or not it was actual like recipe advice or just going like, oh, no, it's totally, turkey doesn't even have to be served warm, do whatever you want, and just you know, making everyone's day a little bit nicer. And she refused to turn off the phone for anything. She, you know, just always would try to help people out.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, that's a great fact. Well, you know, I know we don't have Julia Child to call anymore, but we do still have the Butterball Hotline. Now, I'm assuming most of our listeners are aware of the Butterball Hotline, but just in case they aren't, it's been in operation for more than 30 years now. And so in November and December, there are about 50 or 60 experts that are on the lines to answer the more than 100,000 questions that come into the hotline when people call 1-800-Butterball. And the most common question, of course, is, my turkey is still frozen, so what do I do? But the reason I wanted to point this out is I always like looking at the list of the weirdest questions that come in. And there was one that came in recently that was, I left my turkey in a snowbank to keep it cold, and now I can't find it. What should I do?
Is there a dowsing question. Rod for turkeys? Is that a...
I don't know. That's a good question. All right. Well, Mango, sorry I had to jump in front of you there, but after she shared the Julia Child fact, I just thought it was time to talk about Butterball. So you've got one more fact.
Yeah, and it's a good one. So did you realize that Big Bird's costume is entirely made of turkey feathers?
What?
According to CNN, those beautiful big feathers come from the rear end of a turkey, and Sesame Street actually has strict approval on what feathers get used. Apparently, 1 out of 10 feathers gets rejected. And also, to make that beautiful plumage, it takes about several thousand feathers, along with extras for when the costume molts. And just to be clear, one of the many things I'm thankful for is Big Bird.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Aw.
That's pretty great. And it may be my favorite fact for today. And I kind of want to name you the winner, but I actually feel like Tristan's sweater stole in the show. So yeah. I think I want to give him the trophy. Are you guys okay with that?
Totally. I'm here. Yeah. I'm here with him in the studio. And I've got to say, it's actually glowing a little bit. I'm not sure how he did that.
Oh man. Well, congratulations, Tristan. And listeners, we're certainly thankful for you and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.